This class is Lilu Nishmas Elisheva Bas Chaim Halevi. May the Neshama have an Aliyah. The title of this class is The Do's and Don'ts of Challah, Part 1. This class is solely intended for educational purposes. It does not in any way replace a Rav. Any questions regarding your personal kashrut standards should be discussed with your Rav. The mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah is a very special mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that Hashem commanded the Yidden, once they enter Eretz Yisrael, they should separate challah from their doughs and give it to the Kahanim. It is one of the Matnes Kahuna, one of the gifts that Hashem gives to the Kahanim for being a Kohen. And when the Kahanim were in their state of Tahara, of purity, as well as the Jews separating the challah were in a state of purity, the Kahanim would eat this challah. Nowadays, that we are not in a state of purity, we do not have paraduma to purify ourselves. Therefore, we are not in a state of purity, and the Kohanim are in a state of purity, and the challah is burnt. The mitzvah of challah outside Eretz Yisrael was established by the Chachamim to remind us of this mitzvah, that we should not forget it, and that we should always remember that there is an idea of giving something to the Kohanim. And it expresses that we continuously yearn and pray and hope for the coming of Mashiach, speedily our days, that we'll go right back into doing the mitzvah and we will not have forgotten any details of it because we have been keeping it all this time, even in Golus. There are many different ideas brought to how special this mitzvah is and how fundamental this mitzvah is, and we'll bring a few points here. One of the things that are brought in the Medrash, in Medrash Rabbah, is that b'schus, in merit of three things, this world was created. It says b'schus challah, in the merit of challah, in the merit of ma'aseh, of giving tithing, of giving 10% of the produce, b'schus bikurim, and the merit of bikurim, the first fruit that were brought to Hashem. In addition, it's brought down that Adam Rishon was called chalasei shel olam, the challah of the world. And the Medrash explains that when Hashem created all the creations, He mixed earth and its elements and its components with water and created a type of dough. And with that dough, He created all the creatures in the world, all the creations. And then He separated a piece of challah, and with that He created Adam Rishon. And therefore Adam Rishon represents challah and is called the challah of the world. But ultimately, when Adam Rishon did the chet and sinned with Eitz Hadas, it removed a certain purity that there was in this world, and it brought a certain impurity. And by us separating challah, we atoned for that, we fixed that, and we bring an awareness of Hashem in this world. Because in truth, the whole idea of challah is that we bring to realization that whatever we make, whatever panas we make, and whatever sustenance we take and we eat, in truth, is all from Hashem. And without Hashem, we wouldn't have anything. And as we know that bread and Yiddishkeit is the staple food, and therefore we take the staple food and we take a piece of it and we give it to Hashem to show and have ultimate recognition that we know everything is from Hashem, and we're giving back to Him to recognize that idea. This class won't be covering all details of the halachas of challah. Rather, we're going to be discussing selected ideas in regards to the hafrashas challah, separating challah, especially ideas which sometimes may be overlooked or unknown. However, if one wants to get a complete overview in detail of all the halachas that are required to be known for challah, one should not rely on this recording. Rather, one should acquire a text that expands on all these halachas thoroughly. Challah needs to be separated from any baked items if the baked item is made from the following five grains: the chamesh esmini dagon, the five grains which are especially connected to Eretz Yisrael, which are wheat, oat, barley, rye, and spelt. In addition, specifically when a measurement of an isarin, which is a tenth of an ephah, is baked, that's when the obligation of separating challah begins. There is a misconception out there that challah only needs to be separated when one is baking challah or bread, but in truth, when one is baking any baked good made from the five grains above, whether this includes cookies, cakes, or even waffles, these are all included in the obligation of challah, and challah needs to be separated. At times, challah will need to be separated with a bracha, at times it will be separated without a bracha, This we'll discuss partially in this class as well in the next one, but more in detail, as we mentioned above, one should learn the halachas of challah thoroughly. When the product is deep fried or boiled in a liquid like water, so for example, something deep fried would be donuts, or if one is making pasta that will be boiled in water, or kreplach that will be boiled in soup. In such a case, since the product is boiled, the obligation of challah is not the same, and one separates challah but does not separate challah with a bracha. As we just mentioned, there is a minimum measurement that is required in order for challah to need to be for the need of challah to be separated, and this measurement is regarding the flour specifically. Nothing else, no other ingredients are counted towards this measurement. And it's regarding the flour before it is mixed with anything else, with water, because the moment that it's mixed with anything else, the flour starts to expand and it changes and obviously would not be the same measurement. The measurement which the Torah gives us is, we mentioned earlier, a tenth of an ephah, which our rabbis teach us is the volume of 43 and a fifth egg, or 43.2 eggs. Now, the exact eggs is a discussion of how we measure the eggs, and we in Chabad happen to follow the opinion of Reb Avraham Chaim Noah, which decided on what's the volume of the size of an egg. There are other opinions out there as well as to what size the volume of eggs are. Now, this measurement is in volume and not in weight. Volume means the amount of space it takes up in our atmosphere. Weight is the heaviness of an item. There's a big difference, obviously, between volume and weight. If you take an example of a brick, could have a very dense, could be very dense and very heavy, and it takes up exactly a specific amount of space. You can have something the size of a brick packed with flour, exactly the same size. It will take up the same size and volume as that brick, but nevertheless, it's going to weigh much less because flour weighs less. So therefore, weight and volume are not the same. And just because someone may have the weight of a specific amount of flour, let's say, that does not automatically equal that the volume is going to be the same. Now, when it comes to measuring volume, it is very difficult to actually measure it precisely because many factors fall into place. How much humidity, how hot it is, how dense the flour is, if the flour was packed down, if it was sifted, and many, many other factors could make the volume of how much space the flour takes up differ. However, when it comes to weight is more of a set thing that doesn't really change. So therefore, the poskim throughout the generations try to make a weight to make things simpler for the regular person baking. They can just take a scale and weigh it and not have to start measuring volume, which is more complicated. And in each generation, it was evaluated what the general wheat flour is, what the volume is and how much weight ends up being the volume required for separating challah. And to know the exact measurements, see the attached chart, which has in detail the exact measurements in weight when it comes to how much you need in order to be able to separate challah. Nevertheless, since it is difficult to set an exact measurement of weight and to say definitively that this is going to be the exact volume, because even in one country to the other country, from one time of the year, the specific weather to another time of the year, that actually could change how much volume that weight of flour will be. Therefore, they gave a gray area, it's like a buffer zone to be safe, that we still separate challah, just in case it is the measurement, but we don't make a bracha because it is a doubt whether it's for sure enough for you to separate the challah. And therefore, you will always see, you're given a minimum measurement, this amount, from this point and on, separate challah but no bracha. And then, a little bit more than that, you separate challah with a bracha. And that buffer zone is to be safe because even at the end of the day, it's almost impossible to really give a pinpointed weight, which will always be the exact volume which is obligated in challah. And obviously, if one is separating from a volume that was less than the obligation, and chas v'shalom made a bracha, it would be a bracha v'atol. Therefore, they gave a buffer zone of a little bit of weight that one does not make a bracha, but still separates to be on the safe side, just in case he was obligated. They were obligated in separating challah. They separated the challah. However, if one is making less than the minimal shear, the minimum measurement of that requires separating challah, they do not separate, and one should not just separate just in case. They should always be on top of it and check and make sure that they have the right weight, because when one does not have to separate challah, one should not just be separating challah for no reason. Now, once we understand that the measurement over here is really essentially volume and not weight, in truth, each flour could really essentially be very different than the other, especially if they come from a different type of grain, or if it's whole grain versus regular flour. The general measurement which is given out there is in regards to all-purpose white wheat flour. The moment any of these details change, things could slightly change a little bit here and there, and therefore if one is using cake flour or bread flour or home milled flour, or if they sifted the flour at home, it might be a little bit different. And if we're talking about a flour which is going to be more airy and a little bit lighter, then you'll reach the volume that you need with less weight than the standard weight given. And if it's a more dense flour and a little bit of a heavier flour, you're going to reach the volume. Actually, you're going to need more, a little bit more flour to reach the volume necessary to be chayav, to be obligated in separating challah. And therefore, one should keep that in mind. Attached with a shear, we do have a chart with other grains. For example, if one made flour, or is one using other flours from rye, barley, oats, or spelt, or even from whole wheat, that because the flour density is different, some of them are lighter, some of them are heavier, therefore the volume is different, and by some of them you even need a little bit less flour to reach the volume, some of them you need a little bit more flour to reach the volume. And attached to this class is a chart with some measurements in order to figure out those flours being used. Now, although recipes generally call for cups and not really measurements of weight, and when we're using cups to measure flour, that's not weight, rather it's volume. However, it does get very complicated. And again, as we mentioned earlier, many things could affect the volume of flour. And once it's being scooped and put in a cup, it makes things even harder. Or if it was pushed down, or if it was shaken around. And therefore, it makes things a little bit more complicated. That's why it's preferred, in a way, to follow weight over cups. Nevertheless, if one does want to use cups, see the attached document, which does go into an explanation how to go about and how to measure cups. From all this, it could be understood that going solely by weight actually isn't the most preferred way. It's just the most convenient way that we can ensure that everybody keeps the mitzvah of challah in a basic way. However, it's brought down in Poskim and halachic authorities that it is suggested if one wants to keep the mitzvah in a more precise way, to figure out a way to measure volume precisely, and to always use volume when possible when it comes to separating challah, and see attached document for a method on how to figure out the volume of flour. There are obviously many more details, even for a general introduction, and hopefully in next class we are going to cover combining those or discussing other topics like having a challah bake. When is it appropriate to make a bracha if one is having a challah bake? If one is baking many cakes in individual containers, like a whole bunch of honey cakes to distribute, when to separate challah in such a case, as well as many other practical questions that can come up when dealing with our freshest challah.